time for the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad you've joined us today. We're in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, the 12th verse. I thought that's something we're in the with the 12 tribes of Israel, and so we're at Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 is where we're going to begin reading today. I hope that you've enjoyed the studies and continue to do so. I'm glad that you're with us today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you. I always want to get right into the study, and we don't want to waste a lot of time with announcements. We just want to get right to the Word of God today. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses and the people people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's Word. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us through your precious word. It's such an exciting day. Every day is a wonderful day that we can open your word and enjoy it. So please, dear Lord, lead us through it today. We must have your spirit to teach us your word. And the only way that the spirit, your spirit, that he can teach us your word is if we have come by faith to you, Lord Jesus. It all begins there. It all begins at the cross of Calvary. And what a beautiful picture that we have of that today in this study. So please guide and lead us now as we search your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we begin. We have talked much about the Passover. We've got the 10th day, the 14th day of the selfsame day, and then it comes over and it says it's the beginning. We find that this shall be unto you the beginning of months in the second verse of this 12th chapter. And so we find the way that they're to prepare and to eat this Passover lamb, the way it's prepared, it was to be roasted, it was to be completely consumed, whether to be burnt at the end if there was some left, but none was to be taken with them. And if the household was small, remember they were supposed to come together and join together to enjoy this Passover a lamb, and what it represented was salvation to the families. And now we find in the 11th verse, it speaks of how they were to eat the lamb in as far as their preparation concerned. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They were told how to eat it, how to be prepared. And, you know, we are to be ready for service. You know, the minute, the second that Jesus Christ saves us, you know, and he took all of our sin away on the cross of Calvary. Every sin that has ever or ever will be committed was taken away on the cross. Now, a lot of people have trouble with words that call eternal security and things like that. But why? Because, you see, when you come by faith to Jesus Christ, Jesus died some 2,000 years ago. How did he know the sins that you were going to commit? Because he can see all his foreknowledge. He could see all the way down through the future. And you know, he knew when he saved me, he knew every sin I had committed, and he knew every sin I'm going to commit. And he still saved me, and he is keeping me secure until the day that I meet him face to face. Now, whether I have to face the grave and go through the grave and enjoy the presence of Jesus that way, or he's going to come and get me and I'll meet him in the air at the rapture of the church, I'm not sure which is going to come first. And I'd love to just be raptured and leave this earth in such a manner. But if I have to face the grave, that'll be fine too, because either way, I'm spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know that. I am saved. I am born again. And I hope that you folks can learn that, learn that you can come by faith to Jesus Christ. And if you truly are saved, if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath saved you, have died on the cross for you, please, you need to believe that he is God and he is your Savior. And if you'll call upon him today for salvation, you will find that he will save you and he will keep you in the mind and in the heart. Now we find here this example. We found in verse 11 how they were to be prepared. For I will pass through the land of Egypt, the 12th verse says. I will pass through this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And you know, today we have many gods out there that people serve, and many gods that people bow down to. Many cults, they say that they call upon God, but they are not calling upon the true God, because if they were and if they had, they would not be able to do and teach what they do and what they teach. They can't. They cannot deny the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They cannot teach the lies against God's word. They can't add to the word of God. Many have done that. Many have taken away from the word of God. You can't do that. It's God's living word, and it's not to be dealt with. It's to be studied. It's to be taught. It's to be learned, and it's to be lived. And so we need to do just those things. Well, these instructions came. It came through Moses down into the people of Israel, and here's what they're supposed to do. Now, you had to follow these rules if you expected salvation to come to your house that night. And when I speak of salvation, I mean that the firstborn would not die. And it says later in the scripture here that we're going to be reading in the next few studies, and that is that there isn't one house of Egypt, one of the Egyptians' houses, it's not one house that wasn't touched with death the night this death angel came through. Not one. From the Pharaoh to the poorest man at the bottom, it did not. Every household was touched by this death angel. Every one. Now you think about that. You think about the horror of death coming through and touching every household, except the households of Israel. Not only did it not touch the households of Israel, the reason that it did not touch the households of Israel is because they followed the word of God. Why and how can salvation come into your household today? It's because you will believe the word of God. You must believe the word of God. Please stop listening to that man that is teaching you something contrary. And maybe it's so innocent. Maybe you have no idea that you are being misled because you have been taught the word of God in such a manner, and they're so good at that. They're so good to teach you their ways. And this is the way it is, and we can't get you back around to the simple plan of salvation. It's so simple. It's by faith. No works connected. These people here, they had work to do, because you see, Jesus Christ had not come to the cross yet, but the works didn't save them. It was the faith of knowing what they were doing would save them. Do you understand the difference? It was believing in what they were doing would bring salvation to their household. It would save the firstborn that was under that roof if they would do this. Listen to every word. Attach their ears, their heart, and their mind to every word that God said. And we were to get the lamb at a certain day. We were to kill the lamb on a certain day. We were to prepare the lamb in a certain way. We were to put the blood in a certain place. We were to eat the lamb in a certain way. And we were to be prepared then to leave quickly. All this was put into place. God's word is true. But you see, you had to do it God's way. And if you did everything God's way, but you rejected one part of it, and you decided to go out and stand in the street. You heard this awful cries throughout the houses and the homes in Egypt, and you went out to see what it was. And you would have been taken down, and you're taking your last breath and died right there, because that death angel would have got you, because you didn't listen to the word of God and you didn't stay under the blood. Now see, today we need to come under the blood. The only way we can do that is to come by faith. Look what's going to happen here in the last half of this 12th verse. Let me just read the verse 12 once again. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Judgment's coming, my friend. sin has a price, and that price is death. It's the only way it can be, it can only be settled. And then the sad thing is that for you to die doesn't take your sin away. You're going to die, and you're going to spend eternity in hell. And there's a price has to be paid. There had to be a perfect sacrifice that could take that sin away. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And you need to come by faith to Him. Judgment's coming. Judgment will come. My God will bring judgment upon this land. My God will bring judgment upon this world because they have walked away from Him. And every family, every individual will face the justice of God because they're sinners. The only way that you can avoid that judgment, that justice, God is a just God, and so the price has to be paid for. So the only way that you can avoid this terrible eternity, a terrible death and a terrible eternity, is coming by faith to Jesus Christ, because He took your place. He took the sin upon Him. All the sin of all the world He accepted, and He became that sin that you and I can live. And that's the picture that we have here. But you see, the Egyptians refused to listen to anything the God of Israel had to say. And so judgment was coming. They called upon all their gods, but all their gods was weak, and all their gods were destroyed. And that will come in this time too, in our time too. Judgment will come. It doesn't matter. These Egyptians didn't believe in the true God. It doesn't matter if you believe in the true God or not. Justice will come. God will hold you responsible for your sin, and that's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you an eternity in hell. An eternity, that's forever. There is no end to that. Now, we can't fathom that there is no end to the pain and suffering. And I've heard people say over and over again that we live in a hell right here. It is my, I have my own hell. Oh my, I tell you, if you think this is hell, you wait. You wait. Justice will be done. Oh, please, today. You know, we need to hate the sin. We need to hate this false doctrine. We need to hate these cults. But we need to love the people in such a manner that we desire they be saved. You know, today we're to be understanding. That's their idea. That's their interpretation. And we need to come and we need to tell them that they've been deceived. But we need to tell them in such a manner that we can do it in love. In the love of Christ, because we want that soul to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Himself stood before, and seven times He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe unto you!" But as we've just studied, we found that we have had a time here that the Lord Jesus, upon addressing the leaders and the teachers of this false doctrine, he had such a heart for the land and for the people. He desired that they be saved, that they would come by faith to Him. He wasn't passing judgment upon them. He was telling them the truth. He was telling them what they were teaching falsely and the lies that they were teaching. And he desired that they would be saved, that they would turn to Him. Most didn't. And today in this world, most won't. The Egyptians didn't. Now we find here in the 13th verse, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." For a destruction may be what you have when I smite the land of Egypt. Look at that 13th verse. I don't want to move past that without looking. The judgment's coming. Justice will come. The only way that justice and judgment will not come to your house is if I see the blood, because the blood represents payment. The payment's been made. That's what it's talking about. The payment has been made. And so wonderful. Please, that you look to the Word of God. You look to the power of God. You look to Him for salvation today and look no other way. And then begin to follow His way and His will. We must do that. We can't do our own thing. We can't do our own rules. We can't do that. We have to follow the way of God. The blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses. This represents something that's to come, and that's Jesus' blood, shedding His blood upon the cross. And so when I see the blood, if you have faith and you put that blood on there, I will pass by. Death won't touch your home. Life will come to your home. What a wonderful, wonderful hope. Now, they had to believe it. Now, I know that I possess eternal life. Now, how can I know that? It's because God's Word tells me. Not some man. And I have come by faith to Jesus Christ the way the Word of God tells me to. Not by some action, not by some work, but by only listening, heeding to the Spirit of God, heeding to the Spirit and turning to Him. And upon turning, He accepts me because I have come under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm in that household. I'm under the blood. Now look what comes. And I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, the soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now we're going to stop there at that 17th verse, because we're looking at something that God not only is doing once, but He is placing this. We get into the law of Leviticus. Folks don't realize, maybe you don't realize, that when Moses goes up on the mount here pretty shortly, and they get out of Egypt, they cross the Red Sea, they get to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up for 40 days. Now, upon going up to the mount, everyone seems to know that he received the Ten Commandments, because you hear about the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. About everybody knows about that. But what people don't know, are not aware of, is that he also received all the laws, all of these, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Passover. We have several feasts, and we'll be looking at those. Moses received all this from the Lord up on the mount. He also received the tabernacle. He received the plans to the tabernacle, because when he comes back down off the mount, the only thing you remember is that he broke the tablets, and he went back up to get them again. But what he had was, he had all these feasts that were put into place, and every one is a picture, a beautiful picture. And we have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread here. We have the Feast of the Passover. Oh, and we just continue. It's going to be a wonderful study as we continue to gain these feasts. But even before they left Egypt, God put into place those two the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover. And so we have those already instituted, and he tells us right here that it's going to be something that's going to be done forever. And then we have this the beautiful picture, each one, of a time in the life of Israel, but everything points to the Lord Jesus. And so it starts at the cross. Your whole walk, your whole life begins at the cross. And when Moses gets to the mount, he receives fully all this information, the feasts, the plans to the tabernacle, and yes, the Ten Commandments. But every time that he places a law before us, he gives us a form of grace. He gives us a way to get beyond the law so that we are not condemned. We're condemned by the law. Our sin, we're condemned. The wages of sin is death. That's it. We need to find a way to answer that, and the only way that can be answered is with death. And what a beautiful picture we have here with the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Lord Jesus Christ, with this lamb and the blood across the lintels and the doorposts. Now, we're going to look just a minute here, too, and kind of review just a little bit. We've talked about this some, this leaven. Now, as we look at this leaven, we find that it's just beginning to be talked of, and it was spoken of through Leviticus. We're going to hear much about it as we study through those, and all through the time they would begin the Passover with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it started with cleaning the house out of leaven. Well, the reason that was is because it's a picture of what happens when we come by faith to Jesus Christ. Our sins are taken away. And so we have the leaven here. It points and it symbolizes evil. And so as we look at that evil then, and we have it speaks of being hypocrites in with this leaven in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. It gives us another example in Matthew 16, verse 6 and verse 12. It says of another example of worldliness in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. It talks about the evil conduct. All this is placed with the leaven. It's connected with leaven in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and then false doctrine in Galatians 5, 9. And each time it connects this leaven with that. So you see what happens when God commands these people to get all the leaven out, because we're going to clean the house, and he wants no leaven in it. And what happens with when leaven was allowed to remain in that household? Do you remember what it said here? When leaven was allowed to be left in the household, then you would be, unless the feast of the Lord, this is a day that shall be unto you for a memorial, verse 14, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Cut off from Israel. What an example here we have. Leaven represents sin. We need to get rid of the sin. Jesus Christ does that. Jesus Christ does that. And we too then, of course, we still are in the flesh. And a lot of people have trouble with that. Everybody has trouble with the flesh. But what takes place when we begin here, and we can start to, we're born again believers, then we need to start cleaning our house. We need to get the leaven out, get the sin out. And so what a wonderful picture we have here of what Jesus Christ does to our hearts and our lives. What happens when we turn to Jesus Christ, because all the sin is taken away. And we need to be aware of what this leaven represents. But you would be cut off. See, if the sin isn't taken care of, if the sin isn't dealt with, and we need to recognize that we are a sinner. That's the first step. If you don't know today, And I'm talking about being lost, and you need to be saved. If you don't think you're lost, if you don't think your sin has condemned you, then you, the Spirit of God, has not dealt with your heart, and you're not ready. I don't care what words that you say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, it's not going to do it, because you need to recognize you're a sinner first. You need to be lost before you can be saved. Now, please, my dear friend, I want you to recognize your condition. The Spirit of God can do that. I can't. Then I'm going to tell you what the next step that needs to be done, and that is you're going to have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. It's just that simple. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?